My message tonight, I believe God is going to be speaking to somebody. I had other messages I considered preaching and then just kept on coming back to this. I suppose we'd call it the road to where? The road to. Just the road to. In Isaiah chapter 35 verse 8 we read, "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein." The highway of holiness. And I suppose you have all heard about the road to Emmaus, the road to Emmaus. This is where two men who were very, very sad and very much grieving at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross had their eyes opened. But it was their heart that opened their eyes, because they said, "Did not our hearts burn within them?" Remember, Jesus joined them on that road to Emmaus. Jesus also said, "I am the way, the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." These are highways, but of course we know Jesus is the highway to everlasting life. Growth in our spiritual maturity is a highway. We develop along the way in our spiritual walk. When you're born again, you're not later on you'll look back on your Christian life and say, "When I first was born again, man, I hardly knew anything. And my experience was so shallow and my understanding was so shallow." So, and I still continue to do things that now I don't do anymore. That's because we grow in spiritual maturity. And now I come to the text. If you'd turn to it in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Romans chapter 5. Verses 3 to 5, they may put it up on the screen for us. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Now, I'm going to read this again. I don't want things to go over our head here tonight. Here we go. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations." Man, that's the last thing I want to get excited about, is when I'm going through a tribulation. Yeah? But it tells us here that knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You see, you can glory in your tribulations. You can get excited about your tribulations if you know that they're working something in you. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience. When you first go to work, you're not really valuable to anybody because you've got no experience. You may have a lot of head knowledge, but you become valuable to a company or some sort of an organization when you have experience. And here, the Bible is telling us that when we have learned patience, spiritual patience, then we have spiritual experience. And experience hope. You begin to realize that we have a wonderful hope in Jesus Christ. You know that when you fail, we still have this hope. God does not throw us out. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so we have this hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So that's, these steps here are steps in a Christian highway, all right? But that's not what I'm going to talk about. Tonight, I'm going to talk about an unusual subject. It's a highway. It's a road. It's called the road to Endor. The road to Endor. Let me develop the story. Saul was a very popular king in Israel. He was their chosen king. He was head and shoulders above everybody, a mighty fighter. And he desired to please the Lord. And it tells us in 1 Samuel 28, verse 3, that Saul put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. So King Saul went through the land and got rid of all of the wizards and people who had familiar spirits, witches. I suppose we could use a general term. Why? Because in Leviticus 20:27 it says, say that those with familiar spirits and who were wizards had to be put to death. Certain parts of the world today, still they put people to death who were found to be witches. However, how could a man so popular as Saul, and who had such a wonderful beginning, be found going to a witch? He went to the witch of Endor and consulted with that witch. Why? Because they were in a battle with the Philistines. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 28, and Samuel and Saul inquired of the Lord, but the Lord would not answer him. Would not answer him in dreams by Urim. That was something that the priest wore on his breast, nor by prophets. So here is Saul in a desperate situation. You ever been in a desperate situation? Have you ever been in such a desperate situation where you went to have your palm read, or that you went to a witch, or maybe you read teacup leaves, or maybe you went to the newspaper and read what it says in there about your future? Many people do, but that's just exactly what Saul did. Then said Paul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. God doesn't guarantee that he's going to answer all of our prayers right away. In fact, most of the things that are precious in your life are going to be not learnt the easy way. You are in a big learning curve when you are having big problems, when you are not popular, when you are in financial need, when you get fired from a job. These are times when we turn on ourselves and we say something's drastically wrong with me, or sometimes we say something's drastically wrong with everybody else. But how we handle these tests which come into our life will determine if we know how to handle defeat. You can't handle things in your life, then you're on the way to defeat. And that's exactly where Saul went. He went from, as it were, a place of physical defeat into spiritual defeat. I mean, it is unbelievable how a man, a king of Israel, could change so drastically from these verses. First of all, he's clearing Israel out of all the witches and all those that seek familiar spirits. And when he gets in a hard position himself, he sneaks and wants to speak to one of these women or one of these persons by night. You see, subtle deception can come into our lives. We can never condone, under any circumstances, what God forbids. Oh, but I really needed to know. Yeah? In my time as a minister, I'm not going to say too much, otherwise people start having nightmares. But I've come across a number of people who have come and said, I got involved in witchcraft. Some of them played with, I call it Ouija board. You know, where the thing moves around, never touch it. Some of them, they get involved in, they think it's smart. Oh, I can read teacup, the tea leaves in teacups. I can tell you fortune. I can tell you fortune by reading your hand. I'm not saying I can, but this is what they say. They get involved in it. It's funny. It's like going to the circus. As a matter of fact, if you go to a circus, very often you'll see a booth there. They'll read the hands. They'll tell you your fortunes there. I got very angry in Woden many years ago because right in the centre of Woden, when the Christians are forbidden to hand out tracts, there's a woman sitting there and she's charging a small fee for you to so she can read your fortune. We only have one fortune, and it is a great fortune, and it's found in Jesus Christ. Amen. Be careful, because Saul found himself in Endor. You see, he'd chosen this path. And we need to know this path so that we avoid it. Avoid it at all costs. Because when you think that you're going to find something great, when you go down this road, it is destruction. This pathway leads to destruction. The dangerous deception of the first steps in the process of apostasy is that they seem to be very insignificant. So, how can Christian people get involved in it? I was going to tell you, there's a very simple, just one story. A Christian lady. She went to church every Sunday. She fellowshiped with a group of Christians. And she lived in a housing establishment with a lot of older people, and they said, well, look, why don't you come over to our house and we'll have a cup of tea together. And while they were there, somebody brought out one of these Ouija boards. She's a Christian. She thought, oh, this can't really hurt anybody. And so they start consulting the dead with a cup moving around. She got to consulting, or as it were, talking to somebody who was dead that she once knew in the past. She thought it was a game, until all of a sudden this spirit started to visit her every night in bed. I'm not going to tell you graphic things about it. It was terrible. This woman, because she opened up to it, had become greatly, greatly depressed. And she could not be released from it. So she asked my wife's foster father to counsel her. And we prayed for her. Hallelujah. But even after we prayed to her, she still had to win a battle. Because just because we prayed for her, that didn't stop the spirit coming back. You see, sometimes people go looking for a dog. They'd like a pet. But you've got to be careful, because when you find a dog on the street, it could be a wild dog. And a wild dog is not going to behave itself like you anticipated. So Saul's first mistake is he went into a battle. And in this battle, he was preparing himself, and the thing was that Samuel, the prophet Samuel, says, you must wait until I come down. I'm going to come down, I'll offer up a sacrifice. And Saul got impatient. So he took upon himself the role of the priest, prophet, and he offered up the sacrifice. He took the place of the man of God. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and a peace offering." And he offered the burnt offering. When Samuel came down, he said, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God." And you know what Samuel said to him right there? This is his first mistake. Samuel says, "You're going to lose your kingdom." Man, oh man. In other words, your time on the throne of Israel is very limited. The road to Endor. So this was his first error. It was, as it were, according to human judgment. We need to get this sacrifice over and done with because before the enemy starts charging at us. He was rationalizing. But the Bible says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You see, we cannot not operate in God's sphere with a human mind. You may want to work it out. Now, I would have more problems than most of you because I've got a mathematical mind. I operate very much on logic. I like to work out things in process. I like to see what's at the end of the tunnel before I go into the tunnel. Who else is like that? You know, very logical in their way, in their thinking. And we find it very hard to work with anybody who just does everything as a knee jerk. There's just totally different characters. But when we're working in the church and we're working, say we're going to reach China or India, you just can't do this logically. You can't work it out. It's too big. This is a God thing. This is something that's only going to be achieved by the mighty power of the living God. There's no room here for any man to take glory because there's no man big enough to handle the burden that is ahead. And there are so many lying spirits along the way that will distract you. So Saul yielded to the pressure of circumstances. What he knew was prohibited now seemed like the logical thing to do. He was saying, "Where's the man of God? He should have shown up by now. Where's the man of God? I've got to do this myself." Well, let's understand that if we are God's children, if we are God's children, he's there. He's not too far away. I heard a series of sermons once on God's delays are God's delights. You see, most of us pray, and when we pray, we're saying, "God, here's my need. Answer now." Correct? Well, who's God that he's got to answer now? You know, Alfred, do you have a God that just jumps at your command? He's too big for that. Yeah. You see, our God is on a lofty mountain so high above us that he can see everything. He can see the beginning from the end. And when you want something right now, isn't going to possibly be the best. In fact, some people have prayed to God and waited a lifetime to get the answer. That's the patience that I spoke about. Amen. That's when you get the hope because you know that you have a God who answers. Now, of course, when we're sick, when we've got cancer and the doctor said we're going to die, naturally we're starting to say, "Hey, God, you better hurry up. I'm going to die." Well, that's the way you think. But God's thinking, "Well, yes, you're going to die because I want you with me." If you're a child of God, that's your place. You see, there's no defeat in God. Absolutely no defeat. Yeah, you'll die, you'll be buried, you'll go to heaven, your children will be left behind, maybe your wife or husband will be left behind, but you're on a very, very low mountain. You can't really see very much at all. You can't see the total plan of God. God's greatest plan for you is not you having an education, not you getting wealthy, not you getting married, not finding a boyfriend. They're our priorities. God's priority is that you will be with him forever and ever and ever. That's how much he loves you. That's his plan for you. So why derail his plan? His plan is that he loves you so much, he wants you to be with him in eternity. And all that you want is to get an education right now, or you want to get married right now. I once heard somebody in our church once said, Pastor, you preached about Jesus coming back. I don't want Jesus to come back. I said, why? And she was a young girl in our church. She said, I want to get married before Jesus comes back. That's true. You see, our God is on a mountain. He's got a picture of the whole thing, and here we are in the dust, and we think we can see everything. We can't see everything. You can only see what you feel. God is great, and he's wonderful, and he's loving. And so today we have intellectual development. We have changed our way. We are living in a superior generation where people are educated and they know how to think through. So the next mistake, Saul has been instructed that when he goes into battle, he has to wipe out the Amalekites. Now I know this is a bit gory, but the Amalekites were really anti-God, and they were, if you study it, the Amalekites were very wicked people. Very, very, very wicked people. God said, I've had enough, Israel, I want you to wipe them out. Everybody! Well, not only said the people, but you kill their sheep, kill their animals, kill everything, nothing. And of course, Saul goes into battle, and he thinks, well, man, I've got to really have a bit of a trophy out of this. I need people to see, you know, what's a pile of dead mean to anybody? So Saul says, I'm going to keep the king alive. I'm going to have him in captivity. Everybody can come by and see the captured king, Agar. They'll say, oh, Saul is, he's a powerful man. And then he let the people go and take the best of the sheep. Samuel comes down and says, what have you done? God said, he's on the road to Endor. Friends, these are things where we must be very careful where we're not on the road to Endor. I mean, human rationale, human reasoning. I'm a preacher, and I'm a bag of wind if my heart's not trying to get you into heaven. Correct? That's what we're here for tonight. We're not come here because it's culturally good to gather together. And so he took the spoils, and he even used an excuse. Well, we took this so we can make a sacrifice to the Lord. And then Samuel turns around and says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the offering of the fat of lambs. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Let's listen to this. Rebellion. I mean, put up your hand if you've ever rebelled against your parents. Wow. Come on, some of you old ones, you forgot about it, eh? Yeah. We were talking with my mother just not so long ago, and my brother and I were talking about some of the naughty things. You never did that. You were perfect children. Man, praise God that she's lost her memory. I mean, those things, man, we were naughty. I can remember. I remember getting the wooden spoon. I remember being chased with the straw broom. I remember being locked in my room. I mean, if I ever did anything, then that was wrong for her to do that to me. So we're pretty good at rebelling, but beware when you rebel against God. It likens it to the sin of witchcraft. You see, no matter how it may be excused, no one is ever justified in condoning what God condemns. So you need to find out what God condemns when it comes to marriage. You need to find out what God condemns when it comes to your place in society. That's why we have the commandments in the Bible. The commandments are given there to tell us that God does not like that sort of behavior. And if we go against what God says, then we are rebellious. And we better get on our knees as fast as possible and ask God to forgive us. Repentance is not something you did before you were baptized. Repentance is something we should do every day. Amen. Every day. Because, brothers and sisters, you can work at it as hard as you want to, but you are not going to come within a bull's roar of being the person that God really wants you to be. That's why it says we're saved by grace. I've showed you here before, you know. You say, oh, well, I've got to repent. Repentance is death. Okay? It's death. You said, okay, the old man dies and the new man is born. So then you're baptized. Baptism to burial, you don't bury people that are alive, you bury people that are dead. So repentance is a death. It's a death to us. Baptism is where we are buried in the waters of baptism and rise in newness of life. It's where we receive forgiveness of our sins. Yeah? And then, of course, if you're born again, you've got to breathe. That's why you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Anyway, so you repent of your sin, step one. You think, wow, I repented. I really felt good. The night I repented, man, I was like floating on the clouds. But then I learned I've got to be baptized, so I was baptized. And man, I come out of the waters of baptism. I didn't even know about the Holy Ghost. And I felt the power of God hit me from heaven. And I thought, wow, man, this is great. Maybe I'm already there. I wasn't there. Then somebody told me I've got to have the Holy Ghost. So I had to pray to receive the Holy Ghost. Okay, and then I found out there were certain things that God wasn't happy about in my life. Get rid of that. Fix that up. Sort that out. Do what God tells you. Sort it out. So I'm becoming spiritually mature. But in the end, at the end of my life, heaven is a long way away. And that's the big step that God makes. He grants us grace to make that final step because we have pleased Him. The grace of God. That's the simple way that I explain grace to you. You can't make that step. But God sees your heart. He sees how you've tried to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so in the end, He just helps you make that great big step. By His grace, we are saved. Hallelujah. So that's where grace comes in. Grace only comes in after you've done everything that God tells you to do. So I just thought tonight, before we finish now, for the sake of young people here tonight, and I don't know why I'm doing this, but the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God hath driven them out from before you. In other words, God is saying, that's why we've got these rules, because they've got to be driven out of the people. So who knows what divination is? See, no, that's exactly right. No, but we don't know what these things are. So we could be pretty well be meddling in it and not realise. So divination is the act of obtaining insight into the future by supernatural means. Well, I have insight into the future, and all what I need to know is in this book. And God will reveal it to me if I study it. If you want to know about the future, it's all in here. You don't have to go to a diviner to find out about the future. And some people, they get fearful. Something happens in their body. So they go and have divination. Can you tell me when I'm going to die? Am I going to die next week? I've got to have this big operation. Will I survive this operation? So they consult the spirits. We had a man who was in this church, old Brother Kelly. Old Brother Kelly, he was an older man, a very much older man. He actually died just after we completed this part of the church. He had asbestosis of his lungs, or something like that, anyway. But he was a very bold man. He believed in divine healing. Man, I mean, you cross swords with him when it come to talk about divine healing. And man, when he got sick, God's going to heal me. God's going to heal me. Because I believe in divine healing. So, being his pastor, I wanted him to have that faith. But I went to visit him. He had to go down the coast to live with his daughter, and my wife and I used to travel down there and visit him. And while I was down there one day, he took me by the hand, looked me right in the eyes, Brother Ray. He said, I want to know if God's going to heal me, because I believe he should. Man, that's a pastor sitting on a hot plate, I tell you. What sort of an answer am I going to give him? But God was good to me. So I just looked him in the eyes and I said, Brother Kelly, I can't answer your question. How about you ask God? You can say that was a cop-out. Well, maybe it was, but but something marvellous happened. We went 1 week later, and when we walked into his room, he said to my wife and his daughter, he said, would you all go out? I need the pastor. He didn't want his daughter to know what God had told him. So I sat there up close. He was losing his breath. He said, Pastor Downs, I prayed to God. And he told me that he's going to take me. But now I feel peace. I'm not panicking. I know he's a God of healing, but it's my time to go. Man, oh man, that was wonderful. Maybe we should do a bit more praying. We run down to the doctor. Don't go to a diviner. Go to God. Okay, Pastor Downs, I'm trying to move here. An observer of times. This includes astrology. Reading your future from your star origin. Anybody got their star origin hanging around their neck here? You need to rip it off. You need to get it off. Observers of pagan holidays and celebrating them. An enchanter, a person who seeks adoration because of their supposed magical powers. What about that woman who followed Paul while he was preaching the word of God, she followed right on behind. These are servants of the Most High God. Listen to him. He's the servant of the Most High God. Well, he was. He was. This woman was saying the truth. But we read that Paul got worn out with this, and he eventually turned around one day and cast the devil out of her, because it was the devil that was crying this. Because this woman got involved in other things in the community, and so, as it were, she's trying to get Paul's and the workers of God's fingerprint on her integrity, on her ability. So right in front of everybody, they cast an evil spirit. Be careful when people say to you, maybe even truth, you need to test it. Don't come under the power of anybody except the Lord Jesus Christ. A charmer, a person who uses objects which are supposed to have special power, idols, bracelet charms, rabbit foot, touch wood, casting salt. I have to have a relative. Every time I was there, were they cooking? She was a lady. Every time she got the salt out, over her shoulder, with the salt. I thought, that's a waste of good salt. I didn't know what she was doing. A necromancer. Those who claim to have the power or ability to talk to the dead or to spirits. To look into those things who claim to have the power and or ability to talk to the dead or spirits, to seek understanding of the future. You don't have to talk to anybody about your future. It's in Jesus' hands. And so now we're told what Saul did wrong. Now he's on the road to Endor. Still going down the road to Endor. Now he has David come in to sing to him. David, who eventually became king, yeah? He was a wonderful singer, and he played anointing music. Yes. He played on his instruments. And when he played, the evil spirit that had taken hold of Saul made him, as it were, stop tormenting him, and he felt good. That's why Saul had to have David coming in all the time to play the musical instruments so he could feel good. But eventually, jealousy. Somebody said that Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000s. I think that's how it goes. And Saul got ropeable. So when David comes in to play the music, Saul has a spear and tried to nail him to the wall with a spear. He tried to murder David. We're on the road to Endor. You see, I've said all this tonight to show you that Saul started out, as it were, as a godly man. Yes, there were a lot of shortcomings in his life, and he was really the selection of the people. But he was a godly man. To start off with, he wanted to please God. He wanted to lead Israel into victory. But along the way, he made some serious mistakes and eventually ended up seeking the witch of Endor. Through the shadows of the night, this God-forsaken king slips into Endor. He never would have thought to have done this before, but now he's desperate because he's become such a wicked person. Once this subtle process he would have not had any compromise, but now there's no limit to what he will do. Beware of your first steps. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 17 says, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul." We need to keep on the way. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the way. I am the only way. I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to God, no one comes to the Father except by me, Jesus is saying. He said to Philip, have you known me so long and you don't even really know who I am, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. So brothers and sisters, let's be so careful. This, we only get a shot, one shot at this life, and you start, I mean, this is not the sort of stuff you start meddling with and you get dirty hands, but if your hands stay dirty with this stuff long enough, it starts to seep into your soul and you become tainted to the point where you don't even know the way that you should be going, because everything that you do, you can justify. There's a reason. But there's no reason under heaven to disobey what God says. When he says, I command you not to do it, you don't do it. And we're living in a world today, Pastor Downs, where Christians are doing their own thing. Coming to church on Sunday and then doing their own thing. They think by coming to church on Sunday that they're offering up to God a sacrifice. Well, you are. It's a sacrifice because it's a waste of time. If you're living like the devil the rest of the week, it's a waste of time. Let's get real. But this message tonight has been about highways. Which road are you choosing? I would have loved to have been on the road to Emmaus. But I live after that. Now I'm on the way, the truth, and the life. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Just look to Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Downs.
Praise God. Let's all stand here tonight. Amen. We have to be very careful with witchcraft. The world is more spiritual than the world has ever been. When I was a child, we watched movies like Skippy and Flipper and Lassie and Benji. Yes, Benji, there was a show called Benji before you. They were so simple. It was about a dog, about a dolphin, about a kangaroo. But now in the hunger for spiritual things, there's hardly a children's show that doesn't have some spiritual thing about it. People say, oh, the world's not interested in spiritual stuff. Oh, yes, they are. Just not the Spirit of God. In fact, has anyone noticed that suddenly Australians are beginning to celebrate Halloween? And the movies that are on the top of the charts all have to do with witchcraft. Harry Potter, the list goes on. Vampires, ghosts. We've got to be very, very careful what we allow into our life. Got to be very careful what you hang around your neck. If you see you hang something, well, you shouldn't hang anything around your neck. But look at symbols that you have on your clothes. Look at things and look at them and find out what they mean. There was one young boy, a friend of mine. He was a surfer. And there's a surfing company called Ocean and Earth. How many people have heard of Ocean and Earth? Yeah? Ocean and Earth. Ocean and Earth, the symbol is what they call a yin-yang. It's a circle with a divider like this down the middle. One side is black and one side is white. On the black side, it's black with a white dot. And on the white side, it's white with a black dot. The meaning of the yin-yang is that in everything that is bad, there's a little bit of good. In everything that's good, there's a little bit of bad. That is contrary to the Word of God. And he had that hanging around his neck. He used to take it off during this night, and he would hang it beside his bed, just on the top knob of his bedside chest of drawers. And every night, after he was filled with the Spirit, a spirit would come into his room and push him. He said it felt like I was being pushed into my bed. His visiting spirit would come. And it was not until he took that thing and he got rid of it as far as he possibly could before that spirit left. You got to be careful what you have in your home. Be careful what books you have on your shelf. Be careful when you go to other countries and you pick up artifacts and things like that. Find out what they mean, because you don't know what you're hanging on your wall. Bishop Downs, when I was just a little baby, they had a young boy come to the young man come to the house, and he had a monkey hanging around his neck, little leather strap with a monkey on it. He had been initiated. He was from Africa. He'd been initiated as a young child, and they'd put this during circumcision, then put this monkey around his neck. After praying and delivering this young boy, they took that monkey off, and my dad threw it in the bin inside the house. Later on, you smashed it. But in the middle of the night, he was woken to the sound of drums in the house. And at that point, he realized that he had needed to get rid of that thing. He took it down to the garage and he smashed it to pieces. You've got to be careful, because you might find yourself like Saul on the road to Endor. Did you hear my preaching this morning? Did you hear what I preached about this morning, Bishop Downs? We talked about Saul this morning, didn't we? Saul had a son named Jonathan who should have been king. And he never ever became king because of his dad. His dad was a great man. His dad had a falling out with the prophet Samuel. He started doing his own thing and going his own way. And it affected his children. We've got to be careful what we allow into our lives, our attitudes, and where we stand. Let's lift our hands right now. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that there is power in your name. Lord Jesus, we know, Lord, that every knee must bow at the name of Jesus. Every tongue must confess, Lord Jesus, that there is power in your name. And we stand here, Lord, covered by the power of your name and the power of your blood, oh God. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, help us, oh God, not to be enchanted by the things of this world, but to come out from among them and be ye separate, oh God. That the only thing that is spiritual that we would allow in our life is those things that are of you, oh God. The things that are of your word, oh God. The fruit of the Spirit, oh God. Lord, help us to entertain those things in our life. Lord God, open up our eyes for those of us here who have let things creep into our homes. Oh God, open up our eyes and expose them to us, Lord God, that we may deal with them in the right way. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for bringing Bishop Downs, Sister Downs home safe. And Lord God, we look forward to a wonderful week in your presence. We pray this in Jesus' name.